නමුෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමුෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමුෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ ආනාපාන සති භික්කවේ භාවිතා බහුලී කතා මහප්පලා හෝති මහානිසංසාති. Dear Dhamma friends, we are discussing Anapana Sati Sutta, and this is actually, as you know, available in Majjhima Nikaya, and now we have spent several weeks discussing this sutta. And as I shown in the diagram, so through Anapana Sati we can develop Kaya Anupassana, through Anapana Sati we can develop Vedana Anupassana, Chitta Anupassana, and Dhamma Anupassana. So this actually in detail we discussed how one can develop Kaya Anupassana using Anapana Sati. So when one has fair amount of understanding, hands-on experience on Kaya Anupassana, automatically one may get the or enter to the domain of Vedana Anupassana. There one can experience different rapturous or pleasurable feelings. It starts with pleasurable feelings, rapturous feelings, and again kind of happy feelings. And there Buddha mentioned one can look at it objectively, and then we are dealing with Vedana Anupassana. Similarly, when Vedana and Sanya, feelings and perceptions subside, because we are not promoting them, we are not getting deluded by them, then it is possible to get on to Chitta Anupassana, where we allow the mind to little relax itself without holding it strongly, so that mind may be able to freely move. So there we probably able to understand various thoughts arising in the mind, different types of thoughts, and that also we can look at objectively. So that is also an interesting phenomena. That is why we are Buddha emphasize, in order to continue in that practice, one has to have a fair amount of mindfulness, unwavering mindfulness, and again, clear comprehension has to be strong. Otherwise, these different thoughts are so tempting, and there's a higher possibility that we get tempted by them or we get deluded by them. So, as a result of that, Buddha sort of give us a warning that we should approach Chitta Anupassana with fair amount of mindfulness and clear comprehension. And then we talked about Dhammanupassana, which is the emphasis on vipassana. And there are four types of vipassana techniques highlighted there. And this is not just limited to Dhammanupassana. It can be applicable to Kayanupassana, it can be applicable to Vedanupassana, and then it can be applicable to Chittanupassana. So in that sense, Dhammanupassana is very much like a in this sutta, very much like emphasis of vipassana. And then actually we have discussed how Kaya Anupassana, Vedana Anupassana, Chitta Anupassana has contributed to the development of seven enlightenment factors. So seven enlightenment factors are extremely important, because when one starts to develop enlightenment factors, then one's motivation or one's goal is fairly Nibbana oriented. So far, actually, one can even use mindfulness and other qualities to other mundane activities as well. But when one's attention is drawn towards seven enlightenment factors, then basically one's goal or objective has fairly refined and properly adjusted towards the realization of Nibbana, and that is where Buddha explained how Kaya Anupassana contributes to the development of enlightenment factors. So this is an interesting subject, and we discuss in detail how Kaya Anupassana contributes to the development of enlightenment factors, and then Vedana Anupassana, and then Chitta Anupassana, and then that's all. So now actually we today have to discuss how Dhammanupassana would contribute to the development of enlightenment factors. So here actually basically we have to discuss how four techniques, vipassana techniques listed in this sutta, how they are going to contribute to this enlightenment factors. Now, as you know, as I mentioned before, these four techniques are applicable to Kayanupassana, Vedananupassana, and Chittanupassana. So basically, to the all four types or five types of aggregates, we can attribute these four types of vipassana techniques. Now, when we are able to look at different, say, bodily phenomena, different, say, element characteristics are available, and once we are able to properly examine them, so that we understand, okay, the mindfulness has to be well established, and then only one can do it. Then only we are get on to the Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga, or the investigation enlightenment factor, where one can properly investigate those phenomena onto which that we were mindful. So when we are doing that, at the Dhammanupassana section, Buddha highlights that we are sort of looking at it to understand different characteristics or different behaviors of those different phenomena. Actually, those phenomena themselves will show it. It is not that we are purposely or deliberately trying to make them impermanent, for example. But if they are really impermanent, they would show it to us. So it's a matter of properly focusing our attention there, keeping proper balance, and then watching it carefully, observing it carefully. So when we are able to observe it carefully, then those different phenomena start to behave their own way. So that behavior we can carefully observe. So that actually will show us the impermanent nature of those phenomena. So therefore, whatever the phenomena which is arisen because of various causes and conditions, one theory that Buddha mentioned is that they are extremely impermanent, inconstant. But we ourselves have to investigate it. We may be believing the Buddha, true, that itself is a very strong kind of a conviction. But here in the Bhavaname Jnana, or in the experiential knowledge, we ourselves have to impartially look at it. So when we are looking at it, observing it like that, then they'll show their impermanent nature. Now, assume that we are discussing various bodily phenomena, and now we are able to clearly look at them. Different phenomena are arising again and again. We are able to consistently watch them. So now we are actually having momentary kind of a concentration to each and every different phenomena. So mindfulness is unwavering. Mindfulness is available throughout the process, but the objects are different. They are very quickly passing away, but mindfulness is available. So this is where the mindfulness enlightenment factor is contributing or developing, because we are able to look at them very precisely, and we are having very focused attention to each and every minute kind of phenomena, and none of them we miss in a way. So we can maintain mindfulness throughout the period, and that time we can say that we are contributing to the development of mindfulness enlightenment factor. But later we may understand how quickly they arise and pass away, So this is really showing the impermanent nature, inconstant nature of those phenomena. Now we are looking at their impermanent nature, that characteristic, while we are carefully observing that impermanent nature. Actually, we are investigating their behavior. So therefore, the investigation enlightenment factor is developed. Now, as we continue, suppose we feel a little tired because these phenomena are very quickly arising and passing away. So sometimes we have to arouse energy. And again, in order to start this process also, we need some startup energy. And because we have to refine our attention, we have to carefully look at it. We have to have a very precise focus. So this all requires a fair amount of effort. So that is contributing to the effort enlightenment factor or energy enlightenment factor. So once we have come through that, and when we are able to do that successfully, then probably when we are able to look at it carefully and how they are inconstantly arising and passing away, or how they are inconstant and how they are quickly arising and passing away, there is a type of piti, rupture, going to arise. So this is very beautifully mentioned in even Dhammapada. Buddha mentioned when someone is able to look at different phenomena, how quickly they are arising and passing away, kind of an inhuman type of piti, kind of an inhuman type of pleasure is going to arise. Because this is not something we are typically examining. Typically we get happiness by looking at the permanence, by looking at the happiness, by looking at the kind of a self nature or the beauty. But now we are looking at the impermanent, extreme rapid dissolution. But Buddha mentioned if one is well attuned to that and looking at it carefully, inhuman type of pleasure is going to arise. Amanusi rati hoti pasuto udayabhaya. So Buddha mentioned in Dhammapada. So when one is looking at this udayabhaya, arising and passing away nature of these different phenomena, then Buddha mentioned the different type of rupture going to arise. So this is in the way how rupture, enlightenment factor going to arise. Now, when one is having such kind of a rupture, so it may contribute to the pasadhyaya as well. So when things are going on, one is carefully looking at it, there is nothing much to do now, things are happening smoothly, you are very attuned to it, and each and every phenomena you can look at it properly. And so your energy is now can be balanced. As a result of that, pasaddhi or the tranquility enlightenment factor would be developed. So when tranquility enlightenment factor is present, Buddha mentioned, whose body is tranquil and who on whatever occasion the mind becomes concentrated in a bhikkhu, whose body is tranquil and who feels pleasure, on that occasion concentration enlightenment factor is also going to be developed. Now, as we discussed earlier, concentration to be developed, so your body has to be quite comfortable, your mind has to be quite relaxed, comfortable. So that is available now, so the concentration is now going to be developed. Actually, the concentration was available from the very beginning, because we are able to precisely focus our attention to each and every phenomena. But now it's a different type. Now we are able to look at the whole thing like an even kind of an overview, and therefore a different type of concentration, kind of evolved concentration can be developed. Previously we have very precise momentary kind of concentration, but now we can look at them objectively as a group, as an overview, and therefore we can have another level of concentration. And when things are happening in that manner, so we can have equanimity, because nothing to do. Things are constantly arising and passing away by themselves, and we are quite evident it is impermanent. And we have nothing to do. We simply have to observe it, simply witness the whole process. So we have equanimity, enlightenment factor going to be developed. And if we consider the other part, say now actually I have explained anicca-anupassi, seeing the impermanent nature, similarly we can explain viraga-anupassi. Now viraga-anupassi literally means we are looking at it dispassionately. At the beginning we may not have that. So what we have is to understand the impermanent nature. Things are quickly arising and passing away, we are able to look at them objectively, and we are constantly look at it, as I explained just now. So assume that someone is looking at it for a long time. Now, again and again he is seeing how things are rising and passing away very quickly. So, there's a different kind of attitude or understanding going to be developed in oneself Because no point of expecting some sort of a permanent behavior in this whole process, because it's an utterly vulnerable process, quickly arising and passing away. So therefore, there is no point of expecting anything out of this whole process. It is beyond our control even. So then, how are we going to have a kind of a passionate feeling about it? Instead, we are going to have a dispassionate feeling or dispassionate attitude towards this whole process. Now you are very much like letting go. So you are now allow the process to happen, rather than you trying to interfere or interfere the process. Now you let the process to happen by itself, and you are looking at it objectively, dispassionately. So this is where the dispassion is there, the quality of dispassion is there. So in that point also we can say, okay, there is a fair amount of mindfulness and kind of an investigation is there. Now investigation is not very much like previously we have very precise, focused kind of an investigation where we can see precisely how each and every phenomena arising and passing away. But now you are quite obvious about it. Now you are a little mature from that process. And now you are very well know now things are quickly arising and passing away. So slowly mind little gets separated from this process. Get a kind of a distant perspective. So when you have such skill, so the process is happening. It is utterly vulnerable, utterly inconstant. But you can watch it from distant. So that itself requires some kind of an understanding. So you have to let it go. You have to keep it aside rather than grasping. So this is also an understanding. So you can see the investigation, enlightenment factor, actually it is the wisdom. So it is also changing. At what one level it has very precise investigation. At another level it can look at the whole process, let it happen, and get a distant perspective and look at it. And in order to do that, you have to have some different kind of an energy. Now, rather than trying to carefully examine each and every phenomena, now how to look at the whole process from distant. So there you have to do some sort of a balancing of effort rather than pushing the mind towards the objects. Now mind may little repel from the object, whole process, and it may even like to rest a little. So at that time we have to properly balance the effort. So in a way, more and more we continue our practice, it's a matter of balancing these different spiritual qualities. So at this level, so the process is happening, and we are look at it objectively, and we are getting a distant perspective with a balance effort. So the effort enlightenment factor is very have a kind of a delicate balance at this level. So if we in a way completely eliminate it, then we might even fall asleep. But if we put excess effort, then mind can become restless. So we have to have a proper balance of effort. Then only we can say, okay, we are contributing to the effort, mindfulness, effort, enlightenment factor. So as we do that, now mind is more relaxed, because process is someone else's process. It is very much like it is, even though it is the same body which is undergoing some sort of a dissolution, but you are looking at it like someone else's body, and you might not even have the feeling of body, but you have a kind of a feeling of different phenomena, different elements. And you may have further kind of a relaxed attitude. So that is contributing to the removal of suffering, because the upadana is the factor or the cause of suffering. Clinging, grasping is the cause of suffering, but now you are releasing the grasping. Now you are not grasping at all. Therefore, rapture and passaddhi, the tranquility, so those other qualities which are more relaxing and allow the mind to rest, relax, so those going to arise. And when you are continuing that, so mind is now getting further concentrated, but this is not really the momentary concentration. Now you are in a different kind of a level. Processes are happening, they are distant from you. You feel like they are not yours, and you allow them to happen. And you can stay still. You can stay kind of tranquil. So this is where the tranquility and the concentration going to develop. Now, little taste of samatha might be available there. Because in the vipassana, when we typically consider, we think of very precise attention, momentary concentration. But here, so processes are happening, but you are not getting involved with them. And you don't need to recognize each and every phenomena. You get a little distant perspective and looking at it. So mind get concentrated, but very much like samatha concentration. But actually this is vipassana. So the concentration is also evolving. Now when things are happening like this, again you doesn't need to do anything. So you simply have to watch it. So the equanimity, enlightenment factor is present. Now if we consider, say, the third one, Nirodhanupassi, how things are arising and passing away. Now different phenomena are arising, but you are looking at the passing away cycle closely. You are not much worried about the arising cycle, but you are concerned about the passing away cycle. So when even to do that, so how precise attention has to be available, because this is not happening in a long period of time. Rather, every phenomena, the lifespan is very short. Now, in order to understand the passing away part, so your attention has to be very precise, very sharp. So the investigation, mindfulness has to be very precise, should be available. So those enlightenment factors are therefore going to be available. And again, a different kind of energy also may be available, because we are seeing the dissolution, we are seeing the passing away, cessation. So without getting afraid of this whole thing, without getting repelled from unnecessarily, without giving up the whole process. So you have to continue the practice. Because now, don't think that this is happening only during your cushion at the, say, sitting session. Now, after the end of the session, you may even have some kind of a dispassion available in your mind. So that also has to be handled. That also has to be managed. So effort has to be handled, managed. And even some yogis are actually reporting, even when they are out of the meditation, when they are looking outside, they still see the dissolution. They still might see the cessation. So without getting disturbed by that, so you have to have a very healthy mind without getting to any kind of an extreme, without getting depressed. You have to have that mental health, proper mental health. So this is where the enlightenment factors has to be properly balanced. And as we progress, so when one is seeing the cessation, so more and more elements, suppose since we are more talking about the Kayanupassana, if we consider this cessation of various elements, so once they cease, there may be an absence of phenomena. Our mind is not interested of looking at them. So at that time, we should not push the mind to those investigation. Rather, we have to allow it to rest or allow it to relax. So the tranquility and the say concentration is going to be available. So when you are doing that, now everything has ceased. So there are no new arisings. Mind has withdrawn from looking at these different arisings, because it has seen enough. about the cessation. So things have ceased and no new phenomena has arisen. Now you are experiencing cessation. So while being there, you simply have to rest. You simply have to relax. You simply have to observe without doing anything. So that is where the equanimity enlightenment factor. Now, if we consider Patanisagganupassi, the last section of Dhammanupassana, so the point here is to relinquish. So you are attuned to relinquish. Your attitude has changed to relinquish. Now, typically, our mind is more familiar or habituated to grasp, to cling to various phenomena. But now with the practice, mind is more attuned to relax, so mind is more attuned to relinquish. Now when you are relinquishing, still you have to have a kind of a mindfulness, because mindfulness is the one tell us, okay, now mind has grasped something. It may indicate us. So once it indicated us, then we have to relinquish, then we have to let it go. So mindfulness is present, so it is available, developing, and we have to recognize, investigate if there are any kind of graspings present. So that is also investigation, and effort is there just to balance the process. If a kind of a grasping happen, then you relinquish, and once you relinquish, assume that there is nothing available, kind of an emptiness. So you simply have to rest in the emptiness. You simply have to dwell in the emptiness. So therefore, kind of a relaxed energy is available. Relaxed kind of a happiness is available. Tranquility is available. Concentration is available. And simply you are being there, just be. That is the equanimity is available. Now, similarly, we can say if we are applying these four techniques to Vedananupassana, a similar approach is available. Now instead of different elements, now we have different feelings. Now if there are pleasurable feelings, typically what happens is that we get absorbed by them, or we simply possess them, we want to have them more and more, we simply grasp them. But now when we do Vedananupassana, we know that we have to look at them objectively without grasping them, and we are looking at them from distant. And when we do that, we may even understand the impermanent nature. How quickly these pleasurable feelings arise and pass away. It is not the kind of a single pleasurable feelings, but as we are closely look at them, so we may understand it may be 5 pleasurable feelings, maybe 10 pleasurable feelings, maybe 50 pleasurable feelings like that. It's a bunch of pleasurable feelings, group of pleasurable feelings. There are each and every minute pleasurable feeling may arise and pass away. So in Vedananupassana, this is sometimes yogis very clearly mentioned this. At the beginning, they didn't have that kind of a precision, resolution, but as they continue their practice, they develop kind of a resolution. They can precisely recognize kind of a minute feeling. It may be pleasurable, it may be equanimous, it may be painful even. So this contributes to the understanding of impermanence, and assume that you are looking at the impermanent characteristics of these different feelings. Actually, it involves precise investigation as well. So the mindfulness, investigation, effort going to be developed. Now, as we continue in Vedananupassana, similarly, say you are able to even withdraw from different feelings. It may be pleasurable, painful, equanimous, but very much like you allow them to happen. You are not arousing any kind of defilement out of them. Now, typically, when there are pleasurable feelings arising, we get attached to them and various types of desires going to arise. And if there are painful feelings happens, we are trying to get rid of them and kind of an aversion going to arise. And when there are equanimous feelings, probably we simply ignore them and we again go and attach to sensual pleasures. Again, different defilements going to arise. But now here, we are not allowing to do that anymore. Rather, different feelings are there. So you are able to recognize them properly. And you are not getting attached to any pleasurable feelings. Not trying to have any aversion towards painful feelings. And you know now there are equanimous feelings. So there you are not ignored. You are not ignorant about it. So wisdom is there. Investigation is there. And you know different feelings are there, but you can look at them objectively. So these different skills that we are developing throughout Satipatthana going to further and further improve. So the investigation is improving. Effort is well balanced. And some kind of a energy or some kind of a happiness is available. Detached happiness, not involved kind of happiness. So mind is getting relaxed. Feelings are there and they also, since we are not promoting them or since we are not grasping them, they also start to fade away. That is where the fourth part in the, say, Vedanapassana section, Passambhayan Chitta Sankharang Asasisamiti Sikkhati. So you allow those different kinds of feelings and perceptions to calm down, to relax. So at that time, actually, you are maintaining proper balance and you have kind of a distant look and simply equanimously you are looking at them. And now things have very much ceased. And if there are new feelings arise, you are attuned to let it go, relinquishment, parinissaggānupassī. And there may be different feelings, but you are not grasping them or you are not getting repelled by them. So you have kind of a dispassion. So you can see now these four kinds of vipassana techniques. Anicca-anupassī, virāga-anupassī, nirodha-anupassī, parinissaggānupassī. So they have some very much kind of a linear relationship as well. So when you see impermanent nature more and more, you become dispassionate about them. And now you even see how they cease. You are not worried about their cessation because you know that they arise to cease. And now you are further attuned to let them go, relinquish. You are not bothered about their cessation and you are ready to let them go. You are readily relinquishing. So the relinquishment is kind of a mature level of understanding. So now rather than habitually grasping, now mind is more sort of trained to relinquish. Now interesting part is available in Chittanupassana, where you are able to look at different thoughts. And looking at different thoughts, how they are impermanent. In order to understand this, so you have to allow the mind to little play. That's why I last time also mentioned, if you are maintaining your mind in a higher concentration, it may not get any kind of a thought. So it may be thoughtless. But now, in Chittanupassana section, actually we relax our concentration because we are now confident that we can handle it. And our clear comprehension is so strong. And we are confident that we may not get deluded by these different thoughts. We have to take that risk. And then assume that different thoughts are arising and you are able to look at them. And when you are looking at them, you are not promoting them. You are not feeding them. Suppose there are lustful thoughts arising. These lustful thoughts are so enticing, so kind of producing some kind of pleasure. Typically what happens is we get deluded by them. We are getting attracted to them. And we start to promote them. We start to feed them. So that is how lust is going to develop, grow. But now here, with wisdom, so you know this is a lustful thought. I should not play with it. I should not promote it. Rather, I have to objectively look at it. This is a lustful thought. Now, if you are able to wisely do that, then it will quickly pass away. And you may even understand it is not a single thought. There may be little additions then and there that you are trying to do. That you are trying to add, say, different signs, different interesting parts to the picture, your own perceptions to the picture, your past experience to the picture. So very much like your mind is trying to weave a net. But with wisdom, when you are looking at the process, you are not promoting that process. So different parts start to collapse. So they start to fade away. So you may understand this lustful thought is impermanent. There may be other thoughts arising that also impermanent. They come and go. They have the nature to come and go. So this understanding actually represents their impermanent nature. So in order to understand impermanence through your thoughts, so you have to allow them to come and go. They due to various reasons, assume that they are arising, but you are not promoting them, you are not feeding them, you are not getting deluded by them. So naturally they will cease. So they have the inherent characteristic to cease. They are not coming to stay. They come to go. So that is a very interesting insight that one would have. Because typically what happens is when thoughts arise, we consider then that they belong to me, I have to react to them, they are so interesting, I have to act upon them. So likewise we have wrong misunderstandings. But here we are, as much as possible, we are trying to look at them objectively. They are coming, but we are not reacting, we are not getting deluded by them. As a result of that, quickly they start to fade away. Now you see the impermanent nature. Now, in order to have this understanding, so definitely you have to have a fair amount of wisdom. So this is where the investigation, Dhammavichaya, has its kind of an evolved levels. So it is not merely investigating different phenomena. Here also different phenomena is available, that you are correctly understanding different types of thoughts, lustful thoughts, jealousy thoughts, say loving kindness thoughts, faithful thoughts, different types of thoughts you can even understand, that is also there. But to maintain kind of an integrity without getting deluded by these thoughts, so that is a very higher level of understanding. Rather than promoting lust, for example, rather than promoting anger, how are you maintaining your wisdom not to get deluded by them? Look at them objectively. So this is high amount of wisdom. This is actually investigation. Investigation in the sense the Dhammavichaya. Dhammavichaya has now developed high, into a different level. And so you are maintaining some amount of energy also, because if you put too much energy, thoughts may not arise. And if you have too less energy, probably you might lose the balance. And you getting attracted towards these thoughts. So very delicate balance has to be maintained. So the energy enlightenment factor. And assume that thoughts are arising and passing away, and there may be even gaps, absence of thoughts. That vimochayan chittam asasisam iti sikkhati. So you allow thoughts to cease, rather than holding them, rather than feeding them. So now you have kind of a dispassionate attitude towards thoughts. You are not claiming them as my thoughts. You are not getting sort of attracted towards, say, lustful thoughts. You have an even kind of a dispassionate attitude towards different types of thoughts. So dispassion is available, and as you are doing it, so thoughts start to quickly fade away, and you can now look at the fading away part. You are not worried much about the arising part. Now you can see how quickly they are fading away, how they are ceasing. They have their own natural cessation. So you simply allow them to cease. You are not interfering them. You are not trying to suppress them. Because you are quite sure if they are arising, definitely they will cease. You are quite confident about it. You have a strong insight that they have the nature to come and go. They have the nature to arise and pass away. So you are simply looking at the passing away side, cessation side, Nirodhanupassi. And now you are not bothered when thoughts are arising, you simply let it go, let them go. You simply drop them. You simply relinquish them. So mind is more attuned to relinquish. Patanissaggaanupassi. So once, when you are doing that, assume that there are certain gaps where there are no thoughts at all. Absence of thoughts. So what are we going to do there? We simply have to relax. So we have noticed different thoughts have arisen, they all have faded away, say ceased, but no new thoughts arisen. Now mind simply has its own awareness, that's all. So you have very natural kind of an awareness, in that there are no thoughts available, and you simply have to relax. So this is where the equanimity is more profound, tranquility is more profound. It is available in their sort of a mature level. So equanimity was available even at the beginning, very much like say when there are wholesome thoughts, you are not going to promote them, you are little equanimous towards them. Similarly, when there are unwholesome thoughts, you are not trying to suppress them, you are little equanimous towards them. So equanimity is available. But now at the latter stages, the equanimity is different. Now there are no thoughts at all, and you are simply staying in the emptiness while maintaining equanimity. You are not worried or expecting thoughts, or you are not doubtful about this situation. You are not confused about this situation. And again, you are not drowsy, or you are not sleepy. You are quite diligent. So all these qualities are present, and you are maintaining equanimity. If there are new thoughts arising, still you have equanimity towards them. You are not worried about them. You are not expecting kind of a perfect kind of an absence of thoughts. If there are thoughts arising, doesn't matter. They also pass away. You are not bothered. You are not worried. You simply maintain equanimity. So it's a very balanced kind of an equanimity that one is maintaining. So more and more, when one is developing like that, so the previous kind of, say, attitudes may change, and the latter kind of attitude become more stronger. For example, at the beginning, you may see the impermanent characteristic. Very quickly, things are arising and passing away. It may be bodily phenomena, it may be various feelings, it may be different thoughts. They are quickly arising and passing away. So you can see it very clearly, impermanence. More and more you see them, so you become little dispassionate towards them. So the dispassion is going to arise. And once further dispassion is available, so you simply allow them to cease. You are not worried about grasping them at all. So as you see the absence of these different phenomena, absence of, say, thoughts even. So you can even maintain that level, that emptiness, equanimously. And now you are ready to relinquish whatever the new phenomena are going to arise. Patanissaggaanupassi. So in Patanissaggaanupassi, as I mentioned earlier also, so there are two levels. So you are ready to relinquish whatever the new phenomena are going to arise. And you are quickly back in the emptiness. You are established in the emptiness. Actually, the term establish is not proper here, because there is nothing to establish, no place to establish. You are back in the emptiness. So more and more, so the mind becomes clear. The clarity of the mind has to improve, because these different perceptions, different preconceived ideas, different thoughts, different proliferations are the ones getting the mind confused. So mind becomes utterly complicated. But now you are giving kind of a solution to all these, and everything is now very much like dissolved. And mind has its own clarity. Mind has its own mindfulness. It is not kind of a deliberate type of mindfulness. Rather, it's a relaxed, effortless mindfulness. And wisdom is there. It is not that you are kind of absence of thought. Does not mean that you are absence of wisdom. Because of wisdom that you are not grasping. Because of wisdom that you are even relinquishing whatever the things arising. So when you are in the emptiness, so a fair amount of wisdom is present. And likewise, so we can see different enlightenment factors are present, and now actually we have to develop them differently. And that is what Buddha mentioned in the last section of this sutta, and I thought of discussing this in the next week, because now further you have to continue a practice, but in a different manner, not like before. Now previously we were doing our meditation, but now we allow meditation to happen. Rather than we do anything, we now change our attitude. And now we are more into the being mode rather than into the doing mode. So with that, I like to conclude today's sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for questions.
If we have anyone that's joining us for the first time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may raise your hand, or you can also send them via chat.
You have my problem, Jennifer.
Oh, Bente, do you have a cold or something?
No. Actually, we had a couple of issues at Nisarnavane. A few monks got infected with COVID, but now all of them are recovered.
Oh, that's good to hear. Okay. I'd like to invite Indira to please ask the first question.
Avasarai Bhante.
Yes.
I like to know the difference between Preeti and Asati. Fine line or...
Yeah, Preeti typically is little gross. Now, when you consider piti, rupture, now it manifests like kind of waves coming and going. I mean, it's kind of a massaging kind of a experience, or goosebumps are appearing in the body. So those are the kind of symptoms that the, say, indications that the piti is available. Passaddhi is more kind of a tranquility. That is a calming process. So you feel like cool. So bodily, there are no any pains, aches, etc. So you feel at ease. So this is the representation of tranquility. So tranquility, we can say it's a kind of a mature level of rupture. Rupture is more kind of a gross feeling, but tranquility is more subtle, calm, relaxed kind of a feeling.
No.
Actually, we don't need to create any passaddhi. Rather, the process itself makes it available. Suppose, when you allow things to happen, and naturally when they cease, and you feel relaxed, you feel tranquil, because nothing bothers very much. Like whenever things are arising to bother you are not getting deluded by them. And you allow them to naturally cease, because they are destined to cease. They have their inherent characteristic of cessation. So that you very well understood. So therefore you can rest. You can take the back seat. And when you are at the back seat, you are more tranquil, because you don't need to worry about about the signal lights. You don't need to worry about about the other vehicles, because the driver is taking care of it, very much like that. So you are more relaxed, more tranquil.
Like it's like that calmness and the emptiness and all that you realize, right?
Yes.
Okay.
realize, and again you may experience. Experientially, you know, okay, now mind is empty. There are no any thoughts available. So I simply have to relax. Because now point here is, now we were in a domain where every time thoughts or bodily phenomena or what else, say different feelings are available. But now here, they are absent. And they might even available by, and but mind is not bothered by them. Now, it does not mean that we don't have any feelings at all. But mind is not interested of kind of involved with them. Mind has kind of a dispassionate attitude towards them. Mind has withdrawn from them. Mind has its own seclusion. So in that seclusion, mind is resting. So that is what actually Buddha highlights in the next section. So one has to further develop these enlightenment factors while dwelling in that seclusion, while delving in that resting place, rather than actively looking at how different phenomena are arising and passing away. Now mind has realized kind of a resting place which is more peaceful and which is capable of having no phenomena at all, grasping no phenomena at all. So mind is resting there for a long time, as much as possible. So therefore Buddha highlights that one has to further develop enlightenment factors in that manner. So it's a more relaxing kind of a practice rather than actively doing something. So Buddha used the same words, Viveka Nisitang, Viraga Nisitang, Nirodha Nisitang, or Sagga Parinami. So we'll discuss further on next week. So that is actually last part of this sutta. And that is also a long process in a way. Because that is where we are able to understand our different habitual tendencies and different defilements what we have available in the mind. Cognitive part is there.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Chita Devi for the next question, please.
Thank you, Jennifer. Vante, now when we are doing this process, we are going through the stages of the Kayanu and the Vedananu, and we are going through the mind, and then we end up in the Dhamma, no? Now, do we have to guide our meditation through those processes, or do we just allow it to go its way, or what is your advice?
I think as we progress, we have to allow them to naturally evolve rather than we interfere. At the beginning, there may be a little involvement, say little bit of control, but later less and less control. So it's a matter of allowing things to happen, manifest as naturally, and then we are simply very much like walking towards. It's very much like we prepare the road and go as it comes. There is no predefined path.
Yes.
So as it happens, so we then and there do the proper balance and continue. Now say for example, you don't know, say during the day's time, you don't know exactly how different incidents going to happen. But you are prepared in the sense you have the mindfulness. Mindfulness is the only protector you have, and beside that, you have wisdom and those insights that you already understood. And when a particular incident happens, so you are going through it properly, without getting deluded by it, without getting distracted by it, and without getting tensed by it. You are trying to maintain that uninvolved, dispassionate, relaxed, empty, spacious kind of mind even while going through that process. I mean, it is difficult actually, because now there is a kind of an incident happening. It's a new incident, for example, but you are going through it. You are not really planning extremely towards that, in the sense, I mean, that particular incident, you may have a little plan, but when it's happening, you are more ready. It's kind of spontaneously, you are properly going through it.
So, under the Kayanupassana, I mean, the Buddha, he emphasizes the breathing mainly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the four elements come under the Dhammanupassana. Isn't that right, Bhante?
Actually, now if you consider Satipatthana Sutta, four elements are also in the Kayanupassana. Because four elements are bodily phenomena, and therefore it is in Kayanupassana section. But here actually elements are not highlighted, because the theme of the sutta is Anapanasati, mindfulness on breathing. So you may go through different levels, but every time Anapanasati is available as a kind of a refuge whenever it is you need it. And Anapanasati is the kind of the background process available, and that is your, say, Mula Kammatthana, or the primary element, primary object that you are always using in case you are troubled, in case you have any doubt. That's the main thing. Yeah.
Even the four elements, under the four elements, we can see the AI element quite clearly, obviously. We don't have to look for it.
Yes.
But the others, even the heat element, I mean, you can assess that.
Yes, yes, that is also possible. If actually one part of Anapanasati is that, while you are observing Anapanasati, in-breath and out-breath, probably you may understand the element characteristics. As you mentioned, it's heat, it's whether it is, hot or cold, that you might understand. And how it is touching the nostril, so that touching sensation. And the movement of the air, so that's also element characteristics. So then actually you are not exactly considering it has kind of an in-breath or out-breath, but you are more considering about the characteristics, element characteristics. So more you are into the dhatu manasikara. Actually, no harm at all doing that, because if it is happening naturally, effortlessly, it is well, it is pretty good, because you are more into the understanding their true nature. Because when we consider in-breath and out-breath, that is still we are at the conventional level. That is a name that we are given. But more precisely we observe, so we may understand movements of air. And we may understand, as you said, the air element, how they are moving. And as you said, the temperature, that is the heat element. And the touching, so that may be the Patavi, the earth element. So likewise, I mean, if we are capable of understanding those element characteristics, that is really good.
Because even the whole body, as we go along, Bhante, we can feel whatever we are doing, whether we are doing Anapanasana or whether we are doing the Anapana or the four foundations of mindfulness, it merges one into the other anyway.
Yes.
In the Kaya, in the Anapanasati, Buddha goes on to talk about the four foundations anyway.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we can feel even the Patavi element in the whole body, because when it gets lighter and all these other things are happening, you can feel the, like, particles or whatever you want to call it, the Patavi is not so solid as we experience
exactly.
in life.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So, I mean, you may understand Patavi is not as a kind of a solid rock, but it has a process.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
So we
yes.
can note all those things.
Sorry?
But, so we can note those things.
Yes, 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 definitely. Definitely. Actually, if the possibility of noting them really dissolve the body.
Yeah.
Now,
in a way.
Not only in a way, I mean, say people are experiencing that typically they start with a solid body and with a boundary. Now they understand, okay, this is my boundary. Okay, this is my head, this is my shoulders, this is my arms, and this is how the body is sort of resting. So they have kind of a perception about the boundary of the body, but as you continue the dhatu manasikara, so that uh-huh. that boundary become even dissolved, and the solidity of the
yes.
body become dissolved.
Yes, it's like in like sometimes, not always for me, sometimes I feel like it's all
right.
energy like.
Yeah, exactly.
So the other thing I want to ask you was, now the Buddha gives a very concise way of going through the Dhammanupassana.
Mm-hmm.
But do we have to go through like that, or because he goes a specific way of going through the Dhammanupassana? For instance, he talks about the hindrances, and then he goes on to the five aggregates and the six bases and
yes.
so forth.
Yeah.
But now if I take the six bases, I don't think like that. Now he says you look at the external and the internal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says you understand the eye as, you know, he understands.
No, actually, so those are different levels or different techniques.
Uh-huh.
Now,
uh-huh.
in the hindrances, of course, commonly we can do. But the aggregates and ayatana, the sense
uh-huh.
bases, actually we can select one of them.
Yeah,
because for
yeah,
some people, ayatana is more convenient. For some others, aggregates are more convenient. So those are, therefore it is not a must to do both. And
yes, everything.
But, yeah. And again, you can see in the Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha hasn't mentioned those categories at all.
No.
So what is mentioned is simply the vipassana techniques. Anicca anupassi, viraga anupassi, nirodha anupassi, patinissagga anupassi. So those are the attitudes that we are maintaining and how we are looking at whatever the process. Process may be different. Now, in the nivarana pabba, nivaranas are the object. And in the kanda pabba, aggregates are the objects. And in the ayatana pabba, sense bases are the objects. Now, whatever the object, now Buddha simply give us the recipe. Okay, you look at them as impermanent. You look at them as dispassionately. You see their cessation. And you maintain an attitude of relinquishment. So different phenomena may be available, but the type of phenomena is not the important thing. What kind of attitude that you are developing inside the mind, so that mind is not grasping. So actually the ultimate goal is to reduce the grasping and release the mind totally from grasping. Now, very, very essence, if we consider in Satipatthana, that is the last statement of the Buddha in each section, anisitocha viharati nachakinchi loke upadhi. So the whole practice is ultimately taking us there. So now you are ready, you are capable of living without grasping anything in the world. So that is very much the crux of the practice.
Yeah, because we don't want to control everything. It's because we want to let it happen. No?
Mm.
But
yes, yes, yes.
So if you are trying to go through all these, but the way it has been put down in the book, then it becomes a little bit controlling. And
mm-hmm.
that's not what we should be doing. Is
yes,
right,
yes,
Mahesh?
Yes. We don't need to control. So as we continue our practice, definitely you may come across absence of thoughts, absence of feelings, absence of bodily phenomena. So at that place, you need to recognize. So that is a kind of a turning point in your practice. So you need to recognize, you need to appreciate it. And later, you need to use it as a kind of a base or a reference to the further growing of your practice. So that is what emphasized in this sutta as the 12th step. That is vimochayan chittang asasisamiti sikkhati. So at that time, bodily phenomena have fairly ceased. feelings and perceptions have fairly ceased, and now you are allowing to cease these sankharas, mental formations as well. Now when all things have ceased, so mind is simply released. So one has to recognize this release, this freedom, and that freedom is further emphasized, further strengthened through the four vipassana practices explained at the latter Dhammanupassana section. So it's a kind of reinforcing that freedom.
Yeah, that's what you just now you explained, Dhanika.
Yes, exactly. Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes. So you just got to let it happen, and then you don't have to go back and wanting to fill up the gaps. It's just to let it happen. Right?
Correct. Correct. Yes. Yes.
Okay, Bhante. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I'd like to invite
Radhika
for the next question. Thank you,
Bhante.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you can speak a little louder.
Okay. I'm just asking you, it's not, if I'm getting these tapping, all those vibrations, not in meditation, but even now, like listening to you, or a Dhamma talk if it's in English. So I'll just tell what I'm experiencing today while I was listening to you.
So those are quite good. I mean, good in the sense, so those are available, but we were not noticing them. And our mind was so gross, so we simply missed them. But now with the practice, our mind is fairly refined. Our attention has grown, our concentration has grown. Now we even notice them in other activities, not only at the meditation time. So that naturally happens.
Okay, so I do the same thing, right? So for example, while I'm listening to you, I can see thoughts come and go.
Mm-hmm.
I see vibrations sometimes down my body. I can see from time to time my breath, cooler and warmer. The elements in the breath. Sometimes I can see very subtle sensations all over my face. So, but I'm listening also. My primary object is supposed to be listening to you.
Correct, correct.
But I'm seeing these other things also. Then I just let it happen. Is that what I do? Or should
yes.
I be, comes and it goes. Then I'm hearing you, only hearing you. Or should I just say, okay, vibrations, I must bring it back. I have not been bringing it back. I let it go. Is that the right thing? Or if I am noticing these things, I just let it come and go.
Actually, it is up to you. So different phenomena are available. So you can select what you need to do. You have the freedom to select. Either you can look at different phenomena, how they come and go. Either you can even listen different sounds. What I am talking, different sounds, how they come and go. Different phenomena are available. So it's up to you. So you simply neglect everything and simply trying to understand the words, different meanings. So that is the listening, that is the listening part, actually.
Yes, that's what we do most
yeah,
of the time.
Most of the time, yes, yes.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
But then sometimes or takes it away from the sound. It's very prominent, it's
yeah.
Very prominent.
Good, good.
And then I'm noticing that, right? And then it goes, it's not there.
Yes,
not
exactly,
like
exactly.
Car or a home or some big train or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a small vibration running down the body, it's gone.
Yes,
then,
yes.
Then there is only the sound, so I'm again with the sound. So this is just the normal thing that happens, right?
Yes, 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 yes.
More or like you said, I'm noticing it more.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Much merit to you.
Okay.
Teruvan Sannai.
Yeah, Teruvan Sannai.
Thank you, Bhante. I believe that's the last question that's been submitted tonight.
Okay. So good. So then actually we are meeting again on next year. So this is the last session in this year. So we'll meet you again on next year, and I wish you all a peaceful and healthy 2022, and while keeping those good wishes in everyone's mind, so let's recite the traditional verses to share the merits. Ettavataca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya ettavataca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya ettavataca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya ఆకాశట్టా బుమ్మట్టా దేవానాగా మహిద్దిక పుణ్యంతం అనుమోదిత్వా చిరం రక్షంతు శాసనం ఆకాశట్టా బుమ్మట్టా దేవానాగా మహిద్దిక పుణ్యంతం అనుమోదిత్వా చిరం రక్షంతు దేశనం ఆకాశట్టా బుమ్మట్టా దేవానాగా మహిద్దిక పుణ్యంతం అనుమోదిత్వా చిరం రక్షంతు మం పరం. ఇదం వో జ్ఞాతీనం హోతు సుఖితా హుంతు జ్ఞాతయో ఇదం వో జ్ఞాతీనం హోతు సుఖితా హుంతు జ్ఞాతయో ఇదం వో జ్ఞాతీనం హోతు సుఖితా హుంతు జ్ఞాతయో ఇమినా పుణ్యకమ్మేన మామే బాల సమాగమో సతం సమాగమో హోతు యావ నిబ్బాన పత్తియా ఇమినా పుణ్యకమ్మేన మామే బాల సమాగమో సతం సమాగమో హోతు యావ నిబ్బాన పత్తియా ఇమినా పుణ్యకమ్మేన మామే బాల సమాగమో సతం సమాగమో హోతు యావ నిబ్బాన పత్తియా సాధు సాధు సాధు.